the heart and soul of racing. RSN 927's Racing Pulse.
And the heart and soul of racing takes us to Tabcorp Park, Melton on Saturday night for night two of the Summer of Glory. It's going to be a big balmy night there, and there's finals galore. And Blake and the Bon are in the studio to talk about it. And we've got a big guest coming up as well. G'day, Blakey. How are you?
Good, Matt. Looking forward to it. As I think we've called it, the Derby Day of the Trots, really. So
you've stolen that from me straight up there, haven't you? I mean, I was just saying it was Derby Day for the Trots.
Well, given the Derby's being run on it, it's a good start.
It's a good start, and probably stole it from Matt as well. So Everyone was willing to use it.
A lot of thievery going on here.
I pulled the trigger.
How are you, Bon?
I'm very good, thanks, mate. Yeah, really, though, just for the uninitiated, you go through the Inter-Dominion Grand Final night, and there was such great promotion, and people thought, well, this is the pinnacle, and in many ways, the Inter-Dominion still is the pinnacle. But in terms of a program of racing, this is actually superior, and people will think I'm trying to sell something here, but the truth is...
Well, you should be.
Well, the four Group 1s, the Ladyship Cup, which is a direct entry into the Ladyship Mile, which is the biggest race we have for mares at Tabcorp Park, Menangle coming up in not too long. Four-year-old Bonanza is a direct entry to the winner into the Chariots of Fire, the biggest race for four-year-olds we have in the country, and then the two big ones, the Victoria Derby Final and the Great Southern Star, which is a little bit less rich than it normally is because some money was moved around to support the Inter-Dominion Trotting Championship Grand Final, but it's still the richest trotting race in Australia at $250,000. So, and many, many great support races, including in the Mares Trot Sprint Championship Final. So really, if you're a purist and you've got an interest in the quality of horses going around, this is the night of nights.
What sort of a crowd? I mean, all the marketing energy went into Inter-Dominion night and... it was a good crowd and all that sort of stuff. Can they replicate that to some degree for Derby, the harness version of Derby Day?
It's quite interesting. Generally, it's a good, strong crowd, but Hunter Cup still has the brand, and you'll find a week later in 7 days' time from Saturday, the Hunter Cup will probably still be the biggest crowd of the year or near on outside of New Year's Eve. So I'm sure the crowd will be strong and it'll be a bit of a test case. I know that the Country Cups, Bendigo, Shepparton have all been really strong crowds on the back of the Inter-Dominion. So it's probably a little hard to work out, Bon, but I'm sure it'll be a good crowd.
Well, Derby has brand, doesn't it? Derby has brand no matter what the code or what the situation is. So it'll bring a certain number of people, but yeah, it will be next week. I mean, Matty, you'd know for yourself, we lured you out to Tabcorp Park, lured you out of the cave to get to Tabcorp Park for Inter-Dominion night because of the Inter-Dominion.
And you've seen my postal address. You know I literally live in a cave.
And Hunter Cup, I mean, if you go back and think about the great trotting races, Hunter Cup might lure you, Victoria Cup less so, Miracle Mile maybe, they're the big brands. So despite the fact that this is the better night of racing, the climax will still be next week with the Hunter Cup.
You know the greatest Hunter Cup performance? I really got to learn how to turn the dinger off on my phone. You know the greatest Hunter Cup performance I ever saw, and it was a horse that got beaten.
Yes.
Christian Cullen galloped twice, yeah. Still nearly won.
Yeah, Christian Cullen's just one of those horses. I couldn't even think of a thoroughbred. Baker, help me out here, that you would compare Christian Cullen to. His Miracle Mile performance is still considered one of the great performances all time.
You know,
he looked like a thoroughbred.
He was Hariba.
Yeah.
He was Hariba. On his day, best ever. Off his day, frustrating. But there weren't many off days for Christian Cullen.
No.
So, speaking of the Christian Cullen and the like, is the wheel due to turn to relaunch some dead set megastar horses? Are we going through a bit of a good but not great horses period at the moment?
I'll tell you what we're going through, and Bakes, you can weigh in here. We're going through a really interesting period where harness racing for a very long period of time, virtually throughout the course of its entire history, has been dominated at an open age grand circuit free-for-all level by older horses. It's the thing that sometimes separated harness racing from the thoroughbreds is that you sort of needed two or three seasons to ingratiate yourself to the top level of racing so that 6, 7, 8-year-olds quite often were at the top of their game. It's all changed very, very rapidly. Lazarus was the first one, really. Winning a New Zealand Cup as a 4-year-old, Have Faith in Me, maybe slightly before him for Mark Purden as well. But all of a sudden now we're in an era where as a 4-year-old you can be a top liner. And right now the most exciting horses in the sport are pretty much all 4-year-olds. And we've got the 4-year-old Bonanza coming up on Saturday night. Spankham's there on Pat's Delight. Rack 'em Up, Tiger Pie's there. And Poster Boy as well. And that's not the end of the story. Ride High and plenty of others going around in Sydney pretty soon. So I don't know how it's changed so rapidly, but the breeding situation's created an environment where younger horses are now taking centre stage earlier than ever before in harness racing.
And it's also a transition point as well because we've got the injuries of a few big guns, Chicago Bull, Soho Tribeca. So it's left Tiger Tara sort of alone at the top, but it does look like the crop of four-year-olds, but also the three-year-olds, which are coming through. Centenario and Demon Delight from Emma Stewart's obviously got a whole heap of them. Hurricane Harley and Mark Purden's got Ultimate Sniper and I'm Another Masterpiece. So it does appear that, you know, while we are probably at a transition stage at the absolute free-for-all level, the group that are coming through are as strong as we've had in the last 5 years.
Tipping Andy Gath's probably got a couple of nice four-year-olds, and Long Forest Road's most famous resident joins us. G'day, Andy. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks, mate.
How's things in Long Forest Road this morning?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad. Quite a pleasant day.
All right. We've got a big night on Saturday night coming up.
Yeah, no, definitely. Obviously, you know, the Trotter Tornado Valley is the main one and got some nice other chances as well.
All right, let's talk about Tornado Valley because, you know, I've seen a couple of little tweets on socials suggesting this is going to be a stronger race than the Inter-Dominion Trotting Championship Grand Final, and it's probably fair to say the horse has won 18 from 22 since you got him. I don't know how it's quite happened, and I'm thinking those across the ditch in particular are still, their minds still spinning how this could possibly be happening, and they've sent Mark Cooler over to try and do a bit of reconnaissance and come back and tell us exactly what's going on in Australia at the moment. But I've heard some rumours over in New Zealand they're expecting Mark Cooler just to come over here and burst the bubble. Tell us your thoughts on that, Andrew.
Yeah, actually, I watched most of his replays last night. Mark Cooler, you know, there's no doubt he's a quality horse. I've seen him win live over in New Zealand as well. Yeah, no, he's a quality horse. He can run the times that Tornado Valley can run. Yeah, he's got terrific speed. He's got good strength as well. But Tornado Valley, you've got to beat him. And whether he's got that will to win to really knuckle down and, you know, get him at the finish, time will tell.
It's very hard to find his chink in his armour, Andy, at Tornado Valley. But I guess the one thing that people will look at is his staying record. And, yes, he's pretty much won most of his staying starts, but you look at the Inter-Dominion, Sky Petite got pretty close to him. I think Father Christmas tested him one night in the Coulter Crown at Melton. So if he's going to be vulnerable, I think people will say it's the 2760. How do you feel about that? And what did you make of his Inter-Dominion performance? Do you think he had a bit left in the tank, or was he pretty much all out on the line? Because he did have a nice run in front.
He did. He did have to burn the first 200 or 300 metres. And as you know, fast lead times can take a lot out of horses. The times when he has drawn the back row and hasn't had to burn out like Cranbourne when he, you know, won by 12 metres and that, you know, he can still do it both ends. But obviously when you've got the gate speed he has and find the front, it's always a huge option to have. I was still pretty happy with his run into Minion. The second horse just ran out of its skin, Sky Petite. She had to run a last mile 155 to get that close to him. Tate sort of never felt at any stage he was going to get beat. And, you know, he's probably got a little bit more lackadaisical than he has been in the past, that he sort of waits from a little bit more. But, yeah, you know, 2760, we know it's a long way, especially if you've got pressure, but when Ferry Typhoon was over a couple lot of pressure 2 years ago when he led, and you know, sure, this is a better horse than Glen Ferry Typhoon.
Poor old Glen Ferry Typhoon gets a knock on him here. Tornado Valley's just gone straight past
him. What did Glen Ferry Tycoon ever do to you?
No, he was a lovely horse, but I just think this horse is, you know, he's got more tricks.
I think that's more than fair comment, Andy. He's far more reliable for a start.
It sounds ridiculous, Andy, that you would change anything with a horse who's won 18 from 22 and two Group 1s in his last two starts and four Group 1s since he's come over here. But even speaking to Kate Gath, that is, of course, after the Aldebaran Park Maori Mole's most recent Group 1 win, we were talking about the possibility of a gear change or potentially trying to do one or two things to liven him up and let him know sometimes at the end of his races that he's got to explode away from them rather than just hold them at bay. I mean, there's no problem with winning by 1 metre. It doesn't really matter whether you win by 1 or 15. But if Mark Cool is really coming, is there anything you change in his work or the way you go about, you know, what you're doing with Tornado Valley to try and make sure that he's ready for a horse like Mark Cooler on Saturday night?
Yeah, obviously we keep trying to do things the same. When things aren't broken, you try to keep things the same. You know, he trialled here yesterday and trialled quite nice, which you expect him to do what he done, just to, you know, it's going to be 3 weeks in between runs. So, yeah, we've sort of been toying with the idea to pull down blinkers on him or, you know, or maybe just racing Dolly Vardens. But, again, being 2760, he can sort of over-race a little bit too. So, to catch 22 and know what to do. But, when things keep going right, you don't really want to change too much. But, you know, we still haven't decided yet if we'll tinker with the gear yet.
It feels like there's a bit of a public branding campaign going on right now, Andy, in terms of the Elite Lop and his potential to go over there. We obviously saw Maori Time do it last year. Where do your feelings sit right now on heading over to Swede?
Yeah, obviously we've had a fair few discussions from Michael Tomano and Andrew Kelly from HRA and sort of putting things in place if we decide to go. To be honest, I've just really mainly concentrating on getting through the Great Southern Star and the Grand Prix, and then after that we'll sort of sit down and discuss where he heads after that. So really my job as a trainer is just to get him ready for the next race, and that's all I've sort of been worried about and really haven't given much thought to Sweden at this stage. But obviously it's a huge option and a great opportunity for the horse and myself and Kate to head over there and compete on the world stage.
Given the fact that there's a chance of be going over there, if he does, and you just mentioned you're in talks with Michael Taranto and Harness Racing Australia, what would be the chances that you would need a scribe or a journalist or somebody with experience in that field to come
just
over
Matt
and document to document his journey?
Where is it? Sweden. I'm there.
It's amazing how many people want me to go so they can get a free trip over.
We are Bacchus Marsh residents, Gathy.
Just
ignore Bonington.
Find an entourage to go with me, I think. But, it's a great opportunity to present itself. He's got to keep winning and keep performing at his best for him to really want him over there. So we're aware of that. So, as much as he keeps winning, he can easily get beat as well. So, if he starts losing a few in a row, they might not want him then, and we might not be that keen to go.
Oh, shame for everybody. Good on you, Andy. Good luck with Tornado Valley on Saturday night.
Not a problem. Thanks, Matt.
Andy Gath there. It's the last week to be in the Racing Pulse Picnic Bus Competition. We've got two more winners. They just keep piling in. Congratulations to Daniel McDonald from McKinnon and Trevor Tippett from Monturner. They sound like made-up names. You've both won a double pass to join us at the Hillsville Picnic Races on Saturday, February the 2nd, travelling by luxury coach and enjoying the RSN 927 Marquee. We're drawing our last winners tomorrow, so get your name in now on the competitions page at rsn.net.au. Guys, quick break and then come back to nut down the form for a couple of these big races, and we're going to be out at 2 minutes to 10, so a bit to do. We'll take this break.
RSN 927's Racing Pulse.
First of Bendigo's been run on one. The Bendigo Greyhounds are numbers of 5, 4, 1 and 7. Guys, we've got 4 minutes to find the winners of these key races. Blakey, let's start with you.
Yeah, well, the Great Southern Star, I think, is pretty straightforward. We'll get Bond's opinion on it very shortly, but Tornado Valley's been $1.75 into $1.50, and the way he's going, Mark Cool is a very nice horse. We know that from New Zealand, but he's not going to cross Tornado Valley, which means Tornado Valley's going to get every opportunity to win, and that's the way you have to be playing. But the biggest,
what odds is the Tornado?
$1.50 right now. So it's short.
Is that enticing or not?
I'm not an odds on punter, so no.
You are, Bon.
I definitely am. I think he'll start at probably $1.30. But the thing is, there's a groundswell across the ditch for Mark Cooler, and the thing is, he's the only unknown commodity. Nothing. We've seen everything else try and beat Tornado Valley over and over and over again. Even Dance Craze has now had a couple of shots at him and can't beat him, and is drawn outside the second row. So really, you only have to make up one thing in your mind. Is Mark Cooler good enough? Do what Andy Gath's done. Go back and watch the replays on Harness Racing New Zealand website. And if you think he's good enough, well, maybe $1.50 is not sugar, but I reckon it probably is, because he's got that tactical speed. He'll be in front.
Most importantly, what happens after the start? Because Tough Monarch is arguably the third, fourth best horse in the race. Can he hold the back of Tornado Valley?
I've done a bit of David Blaine action, and Tough Monarch, I don't reckon, can hold the back of Tornado Valley, because Ricky Elchin has to be so careful with him, and I reckon Mark Cooler will try and get the spot behind the leader, but Zach Phillips is one of the most intelligent drivers in the country, and he follows through behind Tornado Valley. I reckon he might get in behind. He was a favourite for the race 12 months ago, Red Hot Tooth, and if that happens, I'm not saying she can win, but I reckon she's nearly immoral for a place if you think that can materialise.
Now let's go to the Derby.
Yeah, I think the Barry draw's sort of taken care of this race, hasn't it? Bonham, another masterpiece, has drawn the front row. His biggest danger, Hurricane Harley's drawn the second row. I'm not saying he can't win Hurricane Harley, because he's a very, very special animal, but I'm another masterpiece was super at Ballarat.
Intriguing situation here, and I'm not suggesting any anything untoward or any scuttlebutt, but Demon Delight has drawn gate one and is the emergency. Right now, for Emma Stewart, she's got three or four runners, and it's been back from $15 into $9. I'd be holding fire here just in case he gets a run, because it changes the complexion of the race. All of a sudden, the $1.55, I bet the favourite is Poison, and Hurricane Harley comes into play, and so too does Demon Delight, because even though he's the emergency in the race, he's a very, very good horse.
And unlucky
you've got no
in
luck.
The heats, yeah.
You've got no luck in the heat, so I'd be holding fire.
Okay, so it's just strikes me as an open derby this year.
Look, it's a derby The thing about Mark Purden, I mean, you compare him to Waller or Weir, really, wouldn't you, and say, if you've got a horse that's as good as anything else in the race, it maps to get many more favours than everything else. If it turns out the Demon Delight doesn't get a run, I think I'm Another Masterpiece will lead and will win the race, but I'm just advising to hold fire before having a good bet on the race, because $1.55 is very short if Demon Delight does get a run.
Ladyship Cup, we've got a couple of equal favourites. Are you guys split here, or which way are you going?
I think we're both going to lean the same way. Tell Me Tales has been well backed early doors into equal favourite, and I mean, she's unbeaten for, I don't know how long, it was July in 2017, maybe 2016, so she just keeps winning, Bon, and the barrier draw's not ideal, so Her Burning Love's going to get a chance to lead, but she's probably just the best horse, Tell Me Tales.
The other one I'm really interested in, again, from New Zealand, is Utmost Delight, multiple Group 1 winner. Nearly beat Star Galleria not too long ago, the stablemate, who will be aiming to go in the handicap. He also goes around in a support race on Saturday night. So I just want to get my head around Utmost Delight and whether I think that she's, you know, might be just a little bit too classy. Tell Me Tales is first up from a break. That's the caveat emptor, but I think she's the best mare in the country, and Drawn Gate 2, if she's ready to roll, she's the one to beat.
The Bonanza is probably the last one we should chat about as well. Great race, ripping race with Spain.
They opened the favourite way too short here on Pat's Delight, and he's since drifted.
I'm really keen on Rack 'Em Up Tiger Pie here. It looks like there's going to be good early speed. The pressure should stay on. Sprint Trip, Rack 'Em Up Tiger Pie was just enormous in the Ballarat Cup. So he returns to four-year-old grade, and I think he's on the drift. He might have been out to $9.50 last night with tab fixed odds.
$10, you're getting double figures.
Yeah, I mean, that's silly, really. On an each-way basis, I'm not sure he can miss a place. So if there's speed on, he's definitely the way I'm keen on the race. Bon, your thoughts?
I know we've got to get out really soon, Matty, but that is almost...
No, you've got a minute.
That is almost my point in case that I was discussing before. Rack 'Em Up Tiger Pie, right, went around in the Ballarat Cup last weekend on Saturday night, and he went with an elip of beating the Fixer, who's the New Zealand Cup champion. He beat Cruz Bromac, who won every single heat of the Inter-Dominion Series, right, and he turns up here in a four-year-old only race at $10. So he's gone in one of the biggest Group 1 open age paces we have in Victoria, and he turns up as a fourth favourite. I know he's drawn awkwardly inside the second row, but he's $10 in a four-year-old race. I'm Pat's Delight's the favourite. I've got a funny feeling Spankin' might still be a little bit too good, but Rack 'Em Up Tiger Pie is one of those horses you see, whether it be greyhounds, thoroughbreds, or paces or trotters, horses who don't have a big reputation and you refuse to believe they're as good as they are. It takes you so much longer to sort of cotton on. Rack 'Em Up Tiger Pie is definitely in that situation where we thought he was just a decent horse, and all of a sudden we're now just coming to terms with the fact that he's a lot better than that.
All right. Well, it's going to be a big night. As you say, it's Derby Day, Derby Night, and there's a glittering array of big feature races, and I've been really interested to hear you guys dissect them this morning. Enjoy Saturday night.
Thanks, Matt.
All right, tomorrow on a special edition of Open Mic, Luca Camani, one of the great legends of world racing, will join me in the studio for a full hour. We're going to talk about Luca's career as a rider, you might not have even known that, and trainer. And now he's retired. We're going to ask him all about life and retirement and reflect on his great career and those near misses in Melbourne Cups with Purple Moon, Bower and Mount Athos. So lots to talk about with the legend tomorrow. 10 o'clock, time for a sports update with John J. Hollywood Bowden.